Welcome to St. Philip's Chapel Street. You're listening to an audio podcast of our Sunday Preach. We really hope it encourages you and draws you closer to Jesus. If you want to know more about St. Philip's, you can find us online at stphillips.org.uk or on social media at SP Chapel Street.
Morning. It's lovely to see so many of you here this morning. I was kind of expecting there to be about four, because I thought everybody's at New Wine. So it's absolutely lovely to see that so many of you have come this morning, which is great. Over the last probably since Easter, I think, we've been going through the book of Acts and looking at some of the gifts of the Spirit that are evident in the book of Acts. And I wanted to give you a testimony before I actually do my sermon. It's nothing to do with what my sermon is, but I just feel I want to share it. About 3 weeks ago, Lizzie preached. Lizzie Robinson's our vicar's wife, and she's a bit of a firebrand for faith. And she was preaching about having faith and trusting God and pray with believing. And I was going through a very, very stressful medical thing, and I didn't know how I was going to handle it. I was very worried. But after she preached, I felt like I had to sort of say, okay, I'm going to pray with believing. I know you've got this, God. Now, I didn't feel particularly that I had any peace about it, but I just felt, well, God's going to give me the strength I need to deal with whatever's coming up. And in the meantime, I got this appointment for the day after, so I went and had all the tests and all the various x-ray and scans and whatever else. And at the end of the session, I was called back in, so I was in and out, in and out, in and out. And the lady said to me, "You're absolutely fine, there's no cancer." Now, and it was, I can't explain to you how stressed I was because family members had had this sort of cancer. So for me, being able to pray with believing was like, wow, you know? So we're going to continue looking at some of those acts of the Spirit that were talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, if you want to look it up. But we're going to look today at a specific part of that through a story that relates to Peter and John, sorry, not Paul. So it's from Acts 4, 13, 4 to 12. Now, I do normally read from the Bible, but I've got old lady eyes these days, and I can't, like, my arms aren't long enough, but there we go. So I'm going to read it to you, and then we'll talk about it as the sermon moves on. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. So John worked closely with Jesus, so he was very well known. Now, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Bar just means son of. Jesus was a popular name back then. So who was with the proconsul? That's like sort of people that create the Jewish laws, just so that it frames it for you. Says Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, who's the Bar-Jesus guy at the beginning, Elymas, the sorcerer, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the truth. Then Saul, who's also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently on him and said, "Oh, fool of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what he had done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. So it's a quite an unusual sort of story, but I will talk about it as I go through my message to you today. So we're going to look specifically at one little phrase. This is really echoing in my ears. Is there any way we could turn it down a little? It's quite tricky to speak. That's better, thank you. So in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, I'm going to read it to you. It says, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. And what we're going to concentrate on today is distinguishing between spirits. It used to be called in old days as discerning of spirits. It's a bit tricky if you don't really talk about things like this, or it's not from your faith tradition. I grew up in the Pentecostal faith tradition, so talking about the gifts of the Spirit was just something you did every Sunday, and you'd hear lots of different people using those gifts through the service, and it was all very, very much part of my lifestyle. So whenever I was asked to preach on this, I thought, oh gosh, all right, that's okay, I can preach on it. But then I thought, I better just see what the Bible says about discernment of spirits. And I looked at it, I thought, because I'm reading from Acts, I thought, well, we'll look at Paul. What did Paul say? And he used two verbs to describe this discernment of spirits. I'm not a Greek scholar, so I apologize, but this is what he said. He used one that said, dokimazion, and that means to put to the test its worth or judge its worth. And the other one is diakrinen, I think that's how you pronounce it, which means to differentiate and judge its worth. So both of them interlink, and they were used in different ways for different parts of the Bible. So we're going to look at some examples of these to help us to understand where we're coming from. So Paul actually encouraged Christians to examine themselves, and he wanted people to think about where they were, and he told us to examine ourselves in terms of God's will for our life. Now that sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? You know, God, what's your will for my life? Because we normally just sail through expecting things just to happen the way they happen. But we should actually be checking that this is what God wants us to do. And so he said in Romans 12, then you will be able to test and approve God's will, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. That's and the AV sort of version. And then it says that Christians, this is a bit scary, it says believers should evaluate themselves. So that's another meaning, evaluate or judge its worth. And it says everyone sought to examine themselves before they ate the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink the cup without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. I thought, well, that's a bit scary, you know. But the practice is there. We should be, when we're coming forward for communion, we should be thinking like, God, you know, I love you and forgive me for the wrongdoings I've done this week or whatever. But we should be doing that on a daily basis. We should be thinking about this sort of discernment and making sure we have understood how we're impacting on other people. So in this sense, that's the first type of discernment. And so that's the dokimazion, which is to put to the test or judge its worth. All right, so that's a really important one. But there are other texts that speak of this, and most of them relate a lot to prophecy. So we've got to discern the prophecies that maybe people give you. And we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail shortly. So the New Testament talks a lot about evaluating and discerning in the specific case of the Spirit through prophecy. And a good example of that is in 1 Thessalonians. He said, don't distinguish the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Evaluate everything. So that's a really, really important part of being able to discern. So we've got to evaluate everything. sort of make a judgment about what you're being told. So I thought maybe it would be helpful to decide what isn't discernment. And I thought of a few things that are a little bit funny at times, but you'll get what I mean. So one is, it's not finding fault. So if somebody tells you something that makes you feel really bad and it makes you feel awkward and unhappy, it's probably not from the Lord. All right, because it says in the Bible, if you're going to be prophesied upon, it should be comforting and it should be spirit lifting and make you feel good about it. And that comfort is important. So it's not fault finding. It's not thought reading. When I was quite young, we used to have these Easter conferences and loads of churches would be together. I remember a girl that I met at this conference saying to me, I don't know how they read people's minds like that. Because people were saying, you know, God's just said this to you and God said this to me. And she was convinced they were reading minds. So that was sort of something maybe that she needed to have corrected at some point. And I just sort of went, okay. You know, not really doing much about it because I was young. But so it isn't that. And the third thing it isn't is psychoanalysis. If somebody is going to pray for you and talk to you and they're drawing out about your innermost feelings, it's probably more counseling than it is a word from the Lord, or it is than something like true from the spirit of the heart. Their heart might be in the right place, don't get me wrong, and it's perfectly fine. But we've got to make sure we have a clear understanding of where that source has come from. So it is quite confusing. Discerning the spirits is a way of defining truth. And that's what Paul is talking about. He wants us to see spiritual truth. He wants us to recognize spiritual truth. John in the Bible actually was talking a lot about this, because the lots of the early church in the first century they were sort of taken in by people who would say, "Oh, we've become Christians and God said this," and you know, and he was worried about them being deceived. So he talked about discerning in that kind of sense to evaluate. And I was thinking we could look at a story in the Bible about a guy called Simon who was a sorcerer, another kind of false prophet. Now this guy was very well known in the area in which he lived. And he felt that, you know, he was very important. He was a great man. And the people in the area actually called him a great man of, I think it was a great power of God. I think that's what they called him, a great power of God. So they recognized that he had abilities and to do things. And these guys, Philip, who our church is named after, was in Samaria where this guy lived, and he was proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. Lots of people were accepting it as true and being baptized in water and following the ways of Christians, so that was important. And amazingly, this sorcerer, who used his powers probably to get money, became a Christian. And he was baptized in water, and, you know, everybody's very happy about that because this is where he is, and, you know, he's following. And he actually followed Philip all over Samaria, you know, doing whatever he was doing and praying for people and, you know, helping to witness for the Lord. But what he noticed was when Peter and John came to the area, they laid hands on people so that they would receive the Spirit, so the gifts of the Spirit. So maybe speaking in tongues like on the day of Pentecost, or that they have great faith, or whatever those things were. They laid hands on them and prayed for them. Now, laying hands on is quite typical if you come from a Pentecostal tradition. Lots of people in the churches I grew up in always put their hands on people and prayed, and you knew it was God because you'd feel like warm or something, you know. And it was just the way that I was brought up to believe. But that started in the Bible. So it's very biblical for someone to lay their hands on you and pray for you and ask you if the Lord's got anything that you want from the Lord. You tell whoever. But Simon saw this and he was thinking, hey up. Oops, forgot that was on. Hey up, I'd like that gift. That's really good, that. Now, bearing in mind, this guy was a man of power, and people knew him. But he kind of said to Peter, I'll give you all this money if I can do what you're doing. So give me that gift, but I'll give you my money. To me, that's a big red flag, you know. And he did. But Peter turned around and said to him, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with this money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent this wickedness and pray for the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. And here's the crux. The end of it says, for I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. So the implication there is that this guy wasn't doing it out of a position of grace and sharing Jesus with people. He was doing it out of a position of wanting power or to be recognized for being this great man of faith. So, and that's why Paul said what he did. Now, if we think again back to the story we read at the beginning for this guy called Elymas, and he was trying to influence people to throw out what Paul was saying in the temple, and don't listen to him, he's just talking rubbish, you know the faith of the Jewish faith is right, and you know, he was really trying to undermine them in the temple, which is why he was called down and condemned to being blind. So those are two very specific types of meanings behind being able to discern the spirit. Paul was able to discern the heart of that guy. Peter was able to discern the heart of this guy, and knowing that he wasn't doing it for the right motive. And that's what we need to first of all think about, is having the right motive behind why you might be praying with somebody or you might be sharing something with somebody, even if you feel it's a word from God. You know, you need to be able to do that. So I thought I'd talk to you about another girl in the Bible, a slave girl. And she was another one who had some sort of power, and she was able to tell people the future. Now, like most people, if you read those horoscopes, you know, they're very general, aren't they? So we don't know how true that she actually had this amazing gift or whether it was just something she did and give general sort of viewpoints or whatever, but that's not important. But this slave girl was known for telling people their future. And bearing in mind, she's a slave. So she was making a lot of money for her masters by being able to do that. And that's all they were concerned about, was the money that she was going to get. And this poor girl was always going about, you know, telling people their futures and getting money, giving it to her masters. So she had no rights whatsoever, this girl. But she was doing something a little bit strange, because she was walking behind Paul and Silas. So it's a story where Paul and Silas escaped from prison. So it's a little section before that. And she was talking and she was saying, oh, listen to these men. These are servants of the Most High God. That everything he says will lead you to salvation. And she was wandering around talking behind, like shouting and declaring who they were. And this went on for a few days. And eventually, Paul turned around and said, come out of her, demon. And the girl stopped. Now, you might be thinking, well, she was telling the truth, wasn't she? She was saying that they were the sons of the Most High God. And she was maybe even helping them with the ministry because everybody knew her. So she said it probably is true. But the motive behind what she was doing wasn't right, because Paul and Silas both got quite irritated by her, and they started to feel, oh, this isn't right. And that's what caused them to turn around and sort of tell her to stop and get the spirit out of her. But Satan, and this might surprise you, can tell the truth. It's one of those things that, you know, we know that Satan tells a lot of lies, but he can tell the truth, but it's the position from which he is telling it. So for him, for Elymas at the beginning, it was to undermine Paul. In this situation, this girl was probably a major distraction to the things that Paul and Silas were trying to say. So she wasn't saying those things with a pure heart or a heart with the right motive behind it. we need to be able to recognize God's voice in this, because I was thinking, well, how did Paul and Silas know that that girl was from not from a good source, and what she was saying wasn't from a good source? And the reasons that I feel that they knew was because they walked closely with the Lord. They were very familiar with Jesus and that relationship with him after he died, and that's what made them great men of great apostles in the time. And so therefore, we need to make sure that we know the voice of God. So that's the first sort of step forward to understanding what we mean by distinguishing the spirits or discerning the spirits. We've got to walk closely with God. The Bible tells us a lot that we need to make sure that we have a clear view of what God's will is by reading the Bible. It's referred to as spiritual food. And we all need nourishment, whether it's drinking water a lot or having food. That's important. Well, this is as important for Christians. Read your Bible. Find out what the Bible says. Bank what you've been told in truth, and that will help you. King Solomon actually prayed for discernment whenever he was the king. He was the son of David. And one of the things, God visited him in a dream and said, what is it you'd like? What do you want me to do? And he asked for discernment. And he also asked of making sure that he was able to tell right from wrong. So it's a premise that's way back in the Old Testament. And lots of these kings were very well versed in biblical truth. So that helps us to sort of think, yeah, well, he was very wise and he was very wealthy. And he got even more than he asked for because of who he was. And that with God gave him much, much more. So Paul then talks that we have to apply the gift of the Spirit. And we have to be very clear about what we're talking about. And although we've talked about the two different sorts of discerning of the Spirit, the Bible teaches us that if we are wise and walk with Jesus Christ and be in relationship with him, our lives will be evident of this discernment of the Spirit. And that's so important. So we do this by, one, basing it in spiritual truth, which is what we just said about knowing the voice of God. We can check it in the Bible, because there's usually something that will be confirmed biblically. And from Hebrews 5 said that, Hebrews 5:14 calls, oh no, I said that, sorry. the next one is praying with believing. So at the very start, I told you about Lizzie helping me to consider praying with faith and having the spirit of faith for that sort of thing. And she encouraged us to ask for things in faith so that we can think about it in the right way. So if we're going to ask God for something, it usually should be soaked in spiritual truth. So is it something you've read in the Bible? Do you know the source it's come from? Are you able to challenge what's being said? So all of those things are very, very important. And if we think about that young lady, that slave girl, she was definitely speaking truth, but it wasn't from the right perspective. We need to listen to the right people. And that's really important, because this way we are discerning spirits. Lots of people get quite confused and think, oh, it's casting out of demons or it's a word of knowledge, but it isn't that. It's for us to know when God is speaking to us. It's a personal kind of gift. You might be one of those people that, you know, somebody might say something to you, and lots of parents have this sort of, like, discernment when they're talking about the children. If their children lie, they know very well they've lied. Well, in the same way, we should be able to do that when people are talking to us. So the Bible tells us that we should ground it in spiritual truth. We should read our Bible every day. We should be able to know the voice of God. So if somebody does say something to you, or you've got that worm in your head after an argument with somebody and you've apologized, but it's still going round and round in your head, lots of those sorts of things are the devil trying to just like undermine your faith and undermine that you are a child of the living King. And that is really important to be able to do. You know, I've been lots and lots of meetings where people have come and they said, I really believe God wants you to know. And they'll tell me like a lot of stuff. And it's left me feeling a bit icky, you know, like a bit weird, or I can't really understand where they're coming from. And I don't know, that's just not, doesn't seem to resonate with anything that I believe in, or it doesn't resonate with something God has told me about. That's discerning of the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying you're all going to get that icky feeling, but, you know, something will make you think this isn't quite right. And if you're filled with the Spirit, it'll be much easier to recognize those sorts of things, and you'll be much easier to be able to say, okay, I'm going to have to judge this for myself. Because remember, we talked very early on about evaluating, and we have to evaluate whether something is true. So challenge if somebody speaks to you. I would never have done that years ago. And if somebody says something to me, I say, well, what's made you say that? You know, where sort of spiritual truth is there? Is that in the Bible? Oh, that doesn't feel right for me, but I'll take it on board and think about it. That's what we should be doing. That's part of discerning of spirits. And we need to just be able to do that. So it says in the Bible that, you know, we have to judge its worth. And that is distinguishing the spirit. So it might not necessarily be, oh, this person's a demon-possessed person and, you know, they get exercised or whatever it is they call it. It isn't that. It's that you, when people are speaking or when I'm speaking or Gareth or Lizzie or any of the staff team are preaching and stuff, it's for you to say to God, okay, God, is this what you want me to know? Show me what you mean. And then when we pray, last week we talked about prophecy, and people were praying for each other in threes, and people were speaking the words that they felt God had left on them. And we have to measure that. We have to judge it and make sure, is this a spiritual truth? And that's what I want to leave you with today. I want you to think about spiritual truth. I believe having this gift of discernment or distinguishing different spirits is a spiritual necessity. It's a gift, so we can all ask for it, but it is an absolute spiritual necessity. We need to be able to judge that something is what God is saying and not somebody just being nice. There's nothing wrong in that. People can say, oh, you're lovely. God wants you to know that you're a child of God. And those sorts of things are brilliant because they're comforting and they're reassuring. So it's not a problem that if people are saying nice things to you. But if somebody's trying to get you to say, right, next week you're going to win a million, you're going to get £1 million, and it's not something you've prayed for, I'd pretty much be sure that that wouldn't be quite right. Now, if it was Lizzie, I'd probably say it would be from the Lord because she's trying to get millions for her Project Pearl. But it's not something I would pray about. So that would be something I say, okay, yeah, maybe not, you know. And those sorts of things do happen. Very well-meaning people might know something about you and say, oh, I believe the Lord is saying, and then they say whatever it is, and it makes you feel, not sure, because I've not prayed about that and I've not seen that. Now, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. It does. You know, sometimes God gives somebody a word in their heart to say to somebody, and it might be so specific for you, but the person sort of looks at you quizzically. We're only asked to do what God has told us to. So I'd really like you to think about the spiritual necessity of discernment. Don't get overwhelmed by the fact, you know, that two of the stories talked about something quite horrible. All three of them did, you know. One went blind. The other was going to lose all this money, and the wee girl lost her powers, you know. So it's not that that's what we're going to do. We're not going to point the finger at somebody and say, sorry, Sean, I didn't mean to point at you. But, you know, we're not going to point at somebody and say, oh, you know, you've got a demon or whatever. You know, that's not what we're talking about here. We're just talking about recognizing when God speaks. So when think about things that you've been told, jot them down and go revisit, because that will tell you whether it's a spiritual truth or not. And that's what we're looking at today. We're clearly thinking about how we evaluate things that might be things you've prayed for or things that you've prayed for other people. We've got to evaluate the right motive behind it. And if it's spiritual and it's grounded in truth, then it's fine for you to sort of say, yeah, that's right, I'll take that on board. So I just feel that we just need to pray and ask God about this gift, and that if there's any confusion behind it. I thought, you know, discernment of spirits, when I was a little girl, I thought, you know, only really holy people have that gift, like the pastors or the leaders of the church, because my understanding wasn't right. But now that I know how to think about discerning or distinguishing a spirit, I have a much clearer viewpoint at knowing it's okay to challenge what you've been said. And it's okay for you to sort of ask people, you know, you prayed for me the other week. What made you do that? That's absolutely fine. It's a biblical thing that we should be doing. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that you've given us such good spiritual truths, and that you've helped us to see that things like distinguishing between spirits is for everyone. And Lord, that you've impressed upon me that it's a spiritual necessity. I just pray, Lord God, that you'll help us to understand where it is you're coming from, and that we will recognize when it's a truth that's being said. Thank you, Jesus, for these lovely people here this morning. Thank you that you want us all to have these wonderful gifts. And I pray, Lord, that those who maybe have been a bit nervous about asking for them, Lord, that they'll feel a little bit more open and able to do so. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you want to respond or talk through anything in this preach, please feel free to email hello@stphillips.org.uk, and we would love to help you in any way we can. God bless you.